grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, whose people are knit together in one holy church, the body of Christ our Lord, grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel, the 7th chapter. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all of this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth. But the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 149 responsively. Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise in the congregation of the faithful.
Let us show your joy with you in the earth. Let us show them God and be joyful in your name.
Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people and adorns the poor with his tribute.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph. Let them be joyful on their beds.
Let the praises of God in their robes, and a two-edged sword in their hands.
To wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples.
To bind their kings in chains and their nobles in links of iron.
To inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is the glory for all his faithful people. Hallelujah.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the 1st chapter. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know that what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other as well. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Almighty God, whose people are knit together in one holy church, the body of Christ our Lord, grant to us the grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. What a beautiful prayer that is for this All Saints Sunday. I think that prayer has enough food in it, nourishing food, for us to be fed all through the week. Maybe you'll remember to take home your bulletin and pray that prayer that's printed on the first page of your bulletin. Pray that every day throughout this week as a reminder of this celebration of All Saints. Let that prayer feed your soul throughout this week. Every Wednesday, the Lutheran pastors from the San Diego area gathered together for about an hour and a half of prayer and discussion. Topics vary and attendance varies, but one thing is always the same, and that is we begin our time together with word and sacrament. This last Wednesday, we gathered over at a Lutheran church. Pastor David Jorstedt from Claremont Lutheran was the presider that day. And he preached a sermon that really touched my heart. So when I got home, I called him up and I said, "David, can I use some of your ideas in my sermon?" And he said, "You can remember it for that long?" It was only an hour. But I remembered a couple of his illustrations and wanted to use them in my sermon today. Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us grace. Think about that image of being knit together. What a beautiful image that is, being knit together, bound together. Look at this, knitting. It's not my word, it's Margaret. This beautiful knitting together. When yarn is knit together with the right amount of tension and the right stitches, it becomes a beautiful piece of work. This blanket
will someday wrap a little child in comfort and warmth. Being knit together, this someday will be called a blankie and will give comfort and solace to a little child and keep her warm and secure. But you know what? Sometimes I don't feel so knit together. Sometimes I feel like life is being tugged and pulled. Sometimes I feel like the whole people of God are coming apart. We're unraveling our world, our nation, our church, our own lives, becoming unraveled, pulled apart. Look around the world. We see that gap widening between the rich and the poor, between the haves and the have-nots, between those with power and those who have no voice. The very thin thread that holds the world together, and we're pulling at it, and we're tugging at it, and we're wearing it thin with war and terrorism and injustice. Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us grace. This past Tuesday, our nation has a new set of winners and losers. These weeks and months of an awful, bitter campaign has left us with frayed threads. We've been pulling and tugging at that thread that binds us together as a nation. Where will we find the common ground to stand as people united as one nation? What will bind us together again? Where will we find that thread strong enough to be bound together, woven as one nation? Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us grace. Our national church is in the midst of serious discussions, and some people are talking that maybe these discussions about human sexuality will tear our church apart. What's holding us together when we're threatening to come undone? Where will be the solace and the warmth, the comfort of church together when we're pulling and tugging on each other, when we're unraveling the fabric of our life together? Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us grace. But most of us don't have to look to the nation or the world or the church beyond us to see unraveling. We can look at our own lives, our own individual lives. In our families, we worry about keeping it all together. Sometimes it's our very lives that are coming apart. Maybe your friend in AA has a slip and starts to drink again. Maybe your marriage is becoming so unraveled that you can't find the strings to tie it up again. Maybe your mother has a stroke or dies. Something breaks. A bone, your car, your bank balance. Things come apart and start unraveling. Maybe you hear the word that the cancer isn't gone, that the disease is worse, that a friend isn't coming for Thanksgiving, that the job isn't going to be renewed. Life comes apart and starts unraveling. And here we stand on All Saints Sunday, and the church invites us to pray. Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us grace. We're called together with our unraveling, tattered lives, we're called to see a new vision, to catch a glimpse of what God is doing, what God up to, knitting us together into the body of Christ. We hear in that first reading from the prophet Daniel just a snippet of that book, but enough to get a glimpse of the point that no matter what comes up, God will prevail. In this vision of Daniel, he sees four different creatures rising from the sea, terrifying, unknown kinds of creatures, and he was scared. But listen to that last verse of the reading. But the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. We know that there are things, terrifying things, and those things are real. Those things are tugging at our fabric, tearing, threatening to pull apart what binds us together. Those are real things in our lives, terrifying things. But God has plans for his holy ones, for the saints, for us. What's terrifying you? What is the great unknown that has you worried? What's tugging on the yarn of your being, the fabric that's wearing thin, threatening to fray to the breaking point? This is the good news on All Saints Sunday. No matter what comes up, we have a place with God. God has a plan for us. God has knit us together in the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us grace. This vision of Jesus gives us such a countercultural image that it's difficult to hear. Even for the saints, we have a hard time hearing that we should love our enemies and do good to those who hate us, to bless those who curse us. We hear Jesus, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are those who weep, blessed are those who are hated and excluded, reviled and defamed. And woe to those who are rich and well fed. Woe to those who laugh and are spoken well of. This isn't what we expect. The world looks at it in a different way than Jesus looks at it. Jesus has turned it all upside down. The world says, blessed are those who have invested wisely and have diversified their portfolios. Blessed are those who have good teachers who don't give them too much homework on the weekends. Blessed are those who have good friends. Blessed are those who have a happy life, who are never lonely, who are always joyous. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus has turned it upside down. There are a number of meanings of that word blessed that Jesus uses when he taught in these Beatitudes. In ancient times, the word blessed referred to the gods. They had achieved some state of happiness and contentment in life that was beyond all the cares and the worries of the world, beyond the labors, beyond even death. To be blessed, you had to be a god living in some other world. Then the word took on a second meaning. It referred to the dead. The blessed ones were those humans who, through death, had now reached that other world of the gods. They were now beyond the cares of this world, beyond the concerns of the earthly life. To be blessed, you had to be dead. And then finally, in the Greek usage, this word came to refer to the elite, to the upper crust of society, to the wealthy people. It referred to people whose riches and power put them above the normal cares and concerns, above the worries of the lesser folk, of those people who had to constantly struggle and worry and work in this life. To be blessed, you had to be very rich and powerful. When this word blessed is used in the Old Testament, it takes on another meaning. It means the result of righteous living. You are blessed when you have lived rightly. If you lived right, then you were blessed. And you were blessed with earthly material things. A blessed person had more things, better things, bigger things than the ordinary person. To be blessed, you had to have big and beautiful things. In all of these meanings of the word blessed, the blessed ones had a higher plane than the rest of the people. They were gods. They were humans who had gone to the other world of the gods. They were the wealthy, the upper crust. They were the people with many possessions. But Jesus took on a different meaning for blessed. It's not the elite who are blessed. It's not the rich or the powerful. It's not the high or the mighty who are blessed. It's not the people with the most stuff who were blessed. Rather, Jesus pronounces God's blessings on the lowly, on the poor, on the hungry, on the crying, on the hated. Throughout the history of the world, even to today, it has always been the other people, those rich people, the filled up people, the laughing people, who are considered blessed. And Jesus turns it all upside down. The elite in God's kingdom, the blessed ones in God's kingdom, are at the bottom of the heap of humanity. They're the ones with tattered and unraveling lives. Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us grace. Jesus invites us to have a new attitude, a new stance, a new outlook. Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Jesus invites us to take that new stance by turning the other cheek, by giving more than is even expected. This is the lifestyle of people who are knit together, who are bound together with the thread of Jesus Christ. This is the stance of people who, even though their own lives are unraveling, they know what is the core and center of life. They know, we know, what is that thread that holds us together. We know that it is Jesus Christ that is the thread and the center core and the meaning of our lives that gives us the heart. Jesus Christ that holds us together when our lives are unraveling, when our fabric of who we are is being pulled and tugged, and that thread is wearing so thin that it threatens to break. It's Jesus Christ who weaves us together, who knits us together, who ties us together in the kingdom of God. Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us strength. Jesus Christ can take our tattered, unraveling lives and turn them into something beautiful. can turn our woes into blessings, turn our curses into blessings, turn our laughter, our tears into laughter. Almighty God, whose people are knit together, grant us grace. Grant us grace to see you now at work in us. Let us see you now, knitting together the broken, the hurting, the rich and the poor, the grieving, the hungry, the haves and the have-nots, the living and the dead. Knit us together, Lord. Grant us the grace to see you holding us together when there seems to be nothing else that's holding us together. Almighty God, whose people are knit together in one holy church, the body of Christ our Lord, grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joy you have prepared for those who love you. At the end of the sermon, at the last service, I thought that the sermon led to a sermon hymn that's not printed in your bulletin. So rather than sing what's in your bulletin, let's sing Bind Us Together. Blessed be the tie that binds. Or bind us together. That's number 370 in your book.